Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am so excited to share this interview with you. Todd Dowdy is currently Senior Vice President, Deputy Publisher of Doubleday and has worked at Penguin Random House for more than two decades. I'm also lucky enough to call him a friend. Todd is an absolute delight, and his book, Little Pieces of Hope, Happy Making Things in a Difficult World, is the dopamine we all need this holiday season and all the time. I had such a wonderful time chatting and catching up with Todd, and I can't wait for you all to hear it. So without further ado, here's my chat with Todd Dowdy. Todd Dowdy, hi!
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I am so good. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
I'm so grateful to be here.
Listeners
should know we met in person in November of 2019 for our beloved Aaron Morgenstern's Starless Sea event.
True.
So I'm happy to be back with you.
I'm so thrilled. It's like full circle.
That's right.
My listeners like got so sick of hearing me talk about Aaron because it was like every episode for like a year. I was like, oh, and also The Starless Sea. Have you guys read it?
Well, I mean, she is a genius and the books are incredible. I think one of the many things, and we can talk about other things, but I want to say, like, if listeners haven't read, which they probably have, because I know you've been a passionate advocate for her books, they're some of the most beautiful lyrical writing and love stories and magical worlds that I am jealous of anyone who gets to read them for the first time. And you know, you don't say that about a lot of books, but those two books are definitely something very special.
It's so true. I love being able to give it to someone who's never read it before, because I'm like, oh, you are in for such a treat. They're so good. I will say, for those books, I do get the feeling of reading them again for the first time if I do the audiobook. And then like, if I listen to the audiobook, it's like a whole different experience. So I get a little bit of that, like, oh, right. And then this happened. Like it's a different experience. And
that makes total sense to me. I understand that.
I love it. I love her books. And we love Erin, and you're the reason that we had Erin here and on the podcast and just all the good things. So thank you for that. That was
happy to be here.
But you are here because you have a book now. I'm obsessed with it. Little
How
Pieces
crazy
of
is
Hope.
This
is the coolest thing, Todd. To give the backstory. How did this start?
Sure. Okay. So we can lay the blame for this book, Little Pieces of Hope, squarely at the feet of our commuter rail, Metro North. Mm-hmm. We were in the office the week of March 9th, and on Wednesday, March 11th, the WHO declared a global pandemic. And for some reason, that day on the train, a lightning bolt struck, and I thought, I'm going to make a list of happy making things in a difficult world. And was literally typing on the train directly into my Instagram, which is Todd A. Dowdy. And it was everything from fat goldfish, a really good burger, a really bad DJ at a wedding that becomes a really good DJ at a wedding. and then it kind of expanded from there. From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Paisley, Frank Wyler, Eudora Welty's One Writer's Beginnings. And anyway, what basically I was doing was kind of going down this rabbit hole of joy at a very scary time and thinking about things that had given me joy, happiness, pleasure in life. And that first day, it was really interesting because there were family and friends who had posted a lot of comments in the section, and people were adding their own things, which was awesome because there were things that I, of course, did not list, and folks made their own comments. And then I noticed a couple of strangers had commented as well. And I thought, well, there's something here, and why don't I keep going? So that's how it all began. And I just kept going and going and going and going. And 20 months later, it has now miraculously become this book.
Yeah, I remember seeing the posts on Instagram and I was like, this is so wholesome. Like, this is amazing. Like, it was exactly what we needed. Yep, there it is. It's your Midwestern shining through. And I love in the book, like, I love that it's illustrated and that the text is all different sizes. Like, visually, it's very cute and fun. And it's just going to be, I like have been telling everyone, I'm like, this is the gift book this year. Like, this is, I'm gonna compare it to something and it's going to make your whole day. And I know you can see it coming already, but, it gives me the same wholesome vibes as Lin-Manuel Miranda's Good Morning, Good Night.
That makes me very happy. And you are very kind to say so. And I love that, thought that it could be for anyone, because what I tried to do in the book, and for those who read it, you'll see it's everything from books, TV shows, movies, articles, recipes, feelings, memories, items. I mean, there are over 3,000 individual happy making things in the book. And, you know, that experience that you're talking about of reading it was really important to us. I worked with the amazing team at Penguin, and the artist whose gorgeous art is all over that cheery yellow cover is Josie Portillo, and she did all of the art throughout the book. Sabrina Bowers is my colleague at Penguin, who did the beautiful design. And Meg Litter, my North Star genius extraordinaire editor, and I, you know, there's really a zigzag sort of curatedness to each list. It's kind of a hodgepodge, but then you'll see little connections. One thing might lead to another, or there are groupings. And I just said to Sabrina and Meg, I kind of want the reading of the book to be that experience as well. So you'll see, like you're saying, it's highly designed. There are different fonts, there are different font sizes, there's different art. We took out some individual items and put them onto one page, or grouping on one page. And that was really, really fun. So I'm thrilled that you think of it as an experience as well.
Absolutely. It is, I mean, it's the type of book where you can read it cover to cover, or you could just open to a random page and just be like, I need a dose of dopamine.
Well, that's funny that you use the word dose, because I was thinking, like, well, how would I really talk about this? And I think it's a daily devotional of delight. So you can dip in and out, you can have that little dose, that little hit that you might need. And, you know, it doesn't just have to be an unprecedented global pandemic. Like, we all have regular old bad days or really difficult times in life. You know, the other thing about the book is there are 16 different essays in it on various subjects. Meg had said to me, you know, why don't you pick a few things that you would like to write a little bit longer about? Like, so there's one on my love of red velvet cake, which my grandma Peggy made. I'm actually looking at the photo of me and her right now on my bulletin board, and the cake is in the background. I write about small towns, I write about the seasons, I write about taking the leap, my favorite teacher. So there are also these expanded moments in the book to give the reader a little bit of a break from the lists. And that was really a joy for me to do. You know, every night we were working from home, and basically the computer was shut down. We would have dinner, watch Jeopardy, and then I would sit on the couch for about 90 minutes to 2 hours each night and create these lists. And I tried very hard to not have any repeats. And if there were, it would be a very specific Easter egg that was presented to you in a different way. So there are multiple references to Lin-Manuel. There are multiple references to Katharine Hepburn, Mrs. Onassis, the Addams Family, which you and your beautiful family dressed up as for Halloween.
Yes, we did.
And so I wanted to put those in there, but they all had to be different. And I did everything on my iPhone in the Notes app. So I was able to look up something. But it was really just that thing of, like, if you need a little pick-me-up, here are things that have given me joy. And one of the things that I said to folks in the intro too is, like, I may like something that you don't like, and so just cross it out and add your own, start creating your own lists.
Yeah, it definitely feels like you can hear the sounds of the bookstore around me.
I love it.
It definitely feels like the type of book that I can already tell I'm going to be like marking it up. I'm going to be starring things and highlighting things and like putting a million sticky notes in it. Because there were things that I was just like, there was one, and I think I did save it, but it was something about like putting, you know, the perfect book in someone's hands. And I was like, yes, that's a very specific feeling of joy that I have all the time. I love that. So, you know, there's going to be these little things that I'm going to be like marking up and like, oh, I love that. And I also love that you put, mixtapes in it. Okay. I have to know, did you also put the mixtapes on Spotify? Because I want to listen to them.
We did. They're, my amazing colleague, Molly Fessenden, who's the marketing director at Penguin, did a very specific Little Pieces of Hope, Spotify that I will send to you and listeners can find online as well. And then at my own Spotify, I did each, eight playlists, mixtapes. But you know, when I'm so old that I actually had a Sony Walkman, and my two college roommates, Casey and Jeremy, we would make mixtapes for each other. Mm-hmm. There would always be a piece of art in the front of the cassette. You would have to write out your song list by hand. Yes. And Josie actually created in the book, you'll see there's an actual cassette that says, I made you a mixtape. That's a little piece of art on that page.
So yes, I love it.
There's a holiday one for the season coming up. I tried to pick some weird things and put those in there, or things that folks may not have heard. But music is a really important part of the lists in the book as well. You know, there are special edition lists, there are holiday lists, there's a graduation list, and then there's this series that I did called Things You Might Consider Doing Today.
Yes, I love those.
And all of those are kind of active things that you could do, read, listen, watch, look up. You know, a friend of mine said that there is a very fine line between memory and discovery. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because now that the book has been out for just a few weeks, that I've heard from a few people who said, oh, you sparked that memory that I had of sharing, you know, something with my sister, or that song took me back to X. And then conversely, it's, oh, I never knew this existed and now I love it. So that sense of communal sharing that happens between author, which is a very strange thing to call myself, yep, reader, like that's really important, because as you're saying, like putting a good book in someone's hands, that communal act of sharing at a time when we were very isolated was really, really important. And I think that I'm happy to know that that still exists.
Yeah. It's so funny because that, like, when everything shut down and the bookstore was shut down, but we were still operating, we were online, and we so missed, you know, the in-person hand selling, right? But also, like, we were able to see, because of like the flood of online orders that we got, we were like, oh, like our customers miss it too. Like the books were as essential as all of these other businesses that were staying open, because they were essential businesses. It was like people needed that. They needed their books. They needed that. And so, like, that feeling, like when I am reading this and I'm reading that line about like putting books in someone's hands, I'm like, yes, oh gosh. And like the first time we opened our doors again after we'd been shut down for however many months, it was like, and I got to hand sell a book in person. And I was just
Sure.
like,
well, you know, that's very true. And I think that I have said before that I think books can be portals and doorways or mirrors. Oh. And if you're lucky, the right book finds you at the right time, or you have someone who puts that book that you fall in love with for the rest of your life in your hands. Mm-hmm. That's what you guys are doing every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It warms my little heart. So, okay. Did doing the Instagram post during lockdown and coming up with this list of happy making things, did your perspective on life start to shift? Like, did you start noticing more positive things?
I did, and that word is really important, you know, notice. I think that I began to pay more attention. I think we all did. Mm-hmm. And for me specifically, we were very isolated. You know, I just got back to the office about 2 months ago. So we were home for a year and a half.
Wow.
And I began to notice things in a different way. The reader is going to see, like, you will see articles from the New Yorker and Harper's and the Washington Post and the New York Times from 2020 in the book mm-hmm. that are all very happy-making stories mm-hmm. that I discovered in real time. And I would add those to the list and the book. And I think the other thing that started to happen is I feel like it was a chance for all of us to readjust to what was important in our own individual lives.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, it was an unprecedented time. And to really be able to focus on something that you love or that has brought you joy or a memory, you know, I'm here in the office and across from me is what I call the Wall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And there are pictures of family and friends and buttons and all sorts of different ephemera that are on here. And the other day, a colleague stopped by and she had me sign her book. And I was pointing out, these are several of the people that are actually in a lot of these mm-hmm. essays. There's Mrs. Bullard, the teacher that changed my life. You mm-hmm. know, here is my mother, who the book is dedicated to. And the last essay is dedicated to her and her parents. And we have one picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw things in a different way. And I guess I would only add to that, I began to remember more. You know, you kind of, when things get rough, you cling to your own little lifeboat, right? What is that? What's that song that got you through? What is that piece of art that inspires you? Who is your sports hero? What is the Broadway show that you listened to? And those, I guess, were these kind of little buoys that helped.
Yeah. No, I love that. And the book totally exudes that. And it exudes that vibe of it is a book of joy, but it's also a book of like nostalgia and comfort and warmth. And you know, it's so interesting because it was the day it was published. Was the day after my uncle passed away unexpectedly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And so I was, you know, a wreck. And I was in a very dark place, and I picked up the book and I started flipping through it and I was like, oh, it's going to be okay. So And so it really is the type of book that it can go to anyone for any reason, right? You can give this book to someone who's grieving and you can give it to someone who's celebrating. It's going to be a great wedding gift, a graduation gift, a birthday gift, a Christmas gift, but also like someone who's like going through it. Like, this is going to be the type of book that it's like, hey, you know what? You're in a rough spot. It's going to be okay. And like, here are some things that might spark a little bit of joy in your life.
That makes me very verklempt. And thank you for that. Truly. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I'm sorry that happened, but I'm mm-hmm. glad the book was there for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I also feel like that notion of celebrating is very important as well. You know, I think there are many different things in the book, like the morning of the wedding day, or, yes. you know, rocking the child, the moment after the baby goes to sleep. There are these little celebrations. I mean, if you'd like, I will read the list for you if you'd like.
Yes, I would love that.
Okay. All right, here's one. Happy making things in a difficult world. A stroll through the park at dusk, just as the crickets start to hum. Walking through the garden rows. The fact that Mel Blanc's tombstone says, that's all, folks. Long form journalism, The Atlantic, The New Yorker, Time Magazine, Chet Baker's recording of Embraceable You, Multnomah Falls, Kent Falls, Iguazu Falls, Cormac McCarthy, National Treasure, Carol Shields, National Treasure, Terry McMillan, National Treasure. That moment when the dinosaur falls apart in bringing up baby.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, Remind me to tell you about the time I looked into the heart of an artichoke, end quote. That's from All About Eve, one of my favorites. The 1997 David Hume Kenner Lee photo of Betty Ford dancing on the cabinet room table. That 1999 Larry Fink photo of George Plimpton. Michelangelo's Pietà. Patti LaBelle's recording of If You Asked Me To. Patti LaBelle's recipe for sweet potato pie. Hitting the mark. Punching the clock. Embracing the inevitable. Putting on your pajamas after doing a drive-by at a party that you didn't want to attend but had to attend. Giacometti's 1950 sculpture, Dog. Seeing the Griffith Observatory floating in the hills on a clear Los Angeles morning. Hopeful stories on the evening news. A fully stocked bar cart. New potholders without scorch marks. Good olive oil. Someone who says, I'm thrilled for you. Someone who says, you have it in you to do this. Someone who says, don't doubt yourself. Moxie. That's page 140. And right next to it, your listeners can't see, but there is a photo, there is a drawing that Josie did of the dinosaur falling apart literally in Bringing Up Baby, which is amazing.
Amazing. Ugh, I love it. Moxie.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite happy making thing?
Ooh,
and is it Lin-Manuel Miranda?
he's one of them. That, you know, it's really funny that when you ask that, I usually go back to that very first list. Mm-hmm. On it is one of my favorite things in the whole world, and it is on the Spotify playlist, which is Ella Fitzgerald's recording of Irving Berlin's Blue Skies, which if you have not heard it, or you are having a bad day, or you want to celebrate the morning, put that song on and blast it, because I adore her. I love her music. I think she's one of the all-time greatest artists in history, and it will just make your soul soar. And in the middle of that song, she begins to just do a riff, and then you start recognizing pieces of other music that she is just, you know, improvising on the spot in that recording. And I'll never forget the first time that I heard it. And you're like, she just did a portion of Rhapsody in Blue, which is amazing. And then the other is from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basilie Frankweiler by E.L. Konigsberg. There's an essay in the book on summer reading. And that was the book that made me want to move to New York City.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, they live in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Jamie and Claudia. And I randomly in 1998, my friend Jerry got me into a children's literacy charity event at the Plaza Hotel. The authors that were there were Bernard Weber, Paul Zindel, which I read The Pigman in sixth grade, thanks to Mrs. Bullard, and then E.L. Konigsberg. And I brought my hardcover of that book that my Uncle Dennis gave me when I was a kid. And I write in the book, like, it was like a static line graph of all these kids, and then it spikes at the end, and then there's me. But I still have it, and I still treasure it. And she could not have been more lovely, gave me a big old hug. So I would say those two are probably two very important things.
That's
to me.
Amazing. I love that image. Oh my gosh. My brain immediately went to Lynn because it always does. you know what? One of my favorite happy making things is in that early summer morning when like the sun is just coming up and it smells a little bit like rain, but it's not raining. And it's like the humidity, but it's not oppressive yet. And to me, that smell exudes Disney World, which is my favorite place. And so it's like, when I smell that in the morning, I'm just like, I could be at Disney right now. This feels like I'm walking out of my hotel room and about to go to the Magic Kingdom. Ugh. I love that.
Well, to piggyback on that, there is a word in the book. I write this petrichor.
It's
in the book. the smell of the earth after the rain has fallen. Like I hear yes. you on that. Sensory yes. memory is a very important thing.
It's huge. My husband made a joke once that we should name our dog Trichor so that we could say this is our pet Trichor.
I love
I was like,
that.
No.
That's pretty good.
I was though, like, actually. I hear you, but no. I hear you and I appreciate you, but we're not doing that. We named her Fenway instead because Boston.
So
you've been in publishing forever. What was it like being on the other side, being the author this time?
It was totally surreal in the best sense. So for folks listening, I have been in publishing now for 23 years. Mm-hmm. I too was a bookseller at Walden Books and Books A Million in college. I grew up in rural Southern Illinois and went to a state school 10 minutes from my hometown. Mm-hmm. And then I came to New York and I worked at Walden Books at 57 Broadway. Mm-hmm. And I got into publishing at age 25. There was a publicity assistant job opening at Random House. My friend Jerry Krasner, who I worked with, her friend Amy Edelman was the managing editor at Little Random and said, you know, I think Todd would be good to this. Like I read a lot. I can talk to a wall. Mm-hmm. I was like, sure, I'll go. And somehow I tricked these people into hiring me all these years ago. And I have been doing publicity my entire career. And it's been the most rewarding thing in my professional life. And, you know, I always say that publicity is the caboose of the train. You know, the book is done, the jacket is designed, the interior is designed, and then we and marketing come in. It's been sold into the stores, then we and marketing come in to bring it to the wider consumer audience, I guess is how you would say. And so to be on the flip side and experience it from literally beginning to end was just the most magical experience, because I was actually living in real time the building of the train, as opposed to just the caboose being attached. And your podcast is not long enough for the superlatives that I could give to the amazing Penguin team, including my publicity team of Rebecca, Sarah, and Labria. And that act of collaboration has been the most rewarding part of this entire experience. Aside, you know, like alongside having the book out in the world. And what's really funny about this is I had never written anything before. Or anything like this before. And I think that, you know, I kind of talk about it in that there is a toy in a box in your house. And you go open the box and you bring out the toy and you play with the toy for a couple of hours a day and you just have this wonderful experience of play. And then you take the toy and you put the toy back in the box and you put the box back in the closet or in the drawer, and then you go on with the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what this was like. Like the toy had no correlation to anything else except to you.
Yeah.
And then now to be sharing the toy with other people. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people that I may not know who are reading this book, hopefully, you know, and that's been one of the most just surprisingly wonderful parts of all of this. You know, I've traveled with authors again. We met in person when Aaron, am I misremembering? Maybe we were at NEBA. Was that where
it was? It was NEBA, because it was because it was in the fall,
right,
and I was introducing her.
That's right.
Yes, and then we met again at her launch event for the Starless Sea in Boston.
Okay, good. Then I'm not losing my mind. but I say that because I had seen the experience of a writer having finished the book and it's not into the world yet. And then the writer comes out into the world. And I'm, you know, I guess I just didn't understand that side of it. And to, again, to live that in real time has just been absolutely wonderful.
It must be so cool. It's one of my favorite things about this business is watching debut authors and watching sure. them come out and be like, oh, this is what it's like. or even not even debut, but just authors, like you see like their baby comes out into the world, and like getting to do this podcast with people like that and like getting to talk to them about it. Like we got the coolest letter yesterday that I posted about on our social media, but this author sent an ARC of her book along with a letter. And at first I thought it was a form letter because that's usually what comes with ARCs. But I started reading it and it wasn't, it was personalized to us. And this author, Liz Michalski, was saying that a few years ago, she had come to Gibson's and she had come in looking for a plane book, a book that would make her forget that she was on a plane because she's terrified of flying. And whoever it was that had greeted her was like, I'm calling in backup, and came and got me. And I handed her Cat Howard's and In Kindness of Magicians. And I think another one.
Writing this down right now.
It's so good. It's so good. And she said that she brought those two books on the plane and loved them so much that not only did she forget she was flying, she kept reading them after she landed and has now read everything that Cat Howard's ever written, is a huge fan. And now she's got her book coming out and Cat Howard has blurbed it. Wow. Like, I was like, this is so cool. And I was like, note, authors, this is how you get me to read your book.
That's it was so just great. So
cool. And I was like, like they're right there. That's a happy making thing of like, this person came in, I helped her find some books, and now she's a published author and her favorite author is reading her book. And like, I'm, you know, organizing like a joint event with the two of them. And it's just, I just love this business.
Well, it's proof that there's magic in the world, and it's proof that you guys all do God's work. And I believe that. And I will tell you, in the full circle of life moment, I was in college in the early 90s, and I was working at Books A Million, and there was this book that came out of the gate. And it was a huge bestseller, and we had an entire wall of it at Books A Million, and it was John Grisham's The Firm.
Oh, wow.
And my college roommates, Casey and Jeremy, who I referenced previously about the mixtapes, we became obsessed. We read that, Time to Kill, and Pelican Brief, and then like the rest of the world anxiously awaited the next book. Well, during that time, I actually wrote John a fan letter. Oh. And I still have it to this day, and I still have the envelope to this day. He wrote me back, and I now work at Doubleday as John's publicist and have for many years. And the full circle beyond that is he blurbed little pieces of hope. It's amazing. I mean, again, like, he is an extremely generous human being, and to have that connection from 30 years ago to now, I mean, it just gives you goosebumps, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so cool. And yeah, I mean, gosh, what a great full circle story. I love that so much. Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget when, I forget who it was who reached out initially from NEBA to be like, hey, would Ryan be interested in introducing Aaron Morgenstern at a function? Yes.
Sign yes, me up.
Yes, I would. Yes, thank you very much. And to go from that to, you know, doing multiple events with her and like just kind of hanging out, and we're just like kind of friends now, and it's like real weird. And it's just, it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, like if I could tell like teenage me what my life is like now, like I wouldn't believe it.
No, I mean, I wouldn't believe that I wrote a book. Like if you told teenage me that happened, you know, it's funny. Did I ever tell you what happened with the Night Circus Galleys 10 years ago?
No.
So we had an annual convention called Book Expo America. Yeah. And one of the bigger events at Book Expo was the editor's buzz panel. And Aaron's editor, Allison Callahan, was on panel. And so I was in publicity, and there was a ballroom at the Javits of like 500 people. And my colleague, Beth Meister from Doubleday, and I were standing outside, and we had hundreds of galleys on a table of the night circus. Mm-hmm. And this was the first big public facing event that we talked about the night circus in earnest. And we all knew how special Aaron and the book were. Mm-hmm. And so the panel is going. And I believe, if I remember, Allison was next to last. Okay. So I opened the door and peeked in, and I heard her start presenting, and she gave it raised the roof off the place. Aww. Right. So then whoever sadly had to go after her, that was not an enviable point in the day. But then the crowds came out, and it was each publisher had their own table. So there are five tables of different galleys. Everyone came to our table, and I am not exaggerating. If Beth Meister was here today on this floor, she would tell you we were literally almost crushed by the table, the push of people. And those galleys were gone in probably 3 minutes.
Oh my God.
And that was amazing. The first moment where you're like, whoa, mm-hmm. you know? But then of course that book went on to have a happy and long and wonderful life and just celebrated 10 years.
And
did you get the Illuma crate?
I didn't. I know. Everyone's been sending me links and I'm like, ooh, I know.
Really cool.
I did get Aaron gave me the very, very nice hardcover leather bound gold page limited edition of it.
Wow.
She just gave it to me. She was like, here you go.
She's an amazing, wonderful human being.
She is. I was really relieved that she was excited to see my wedding photos and not freaked out by it. I was like, hi, I totally had a night circus wedding. It's not weird.
Not
she was like,
all.
No, I want to see pictures. I was like, okay.
Of course.
this is such a, this whole business is a happy making thing. Like this, it's just,
that's true.
You're just like putting joy in people's hands.
Well, I mean, you know, a single book can change your life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you hope that you find that the right book comes to you at the right time. You know, my friend Adriana Trajani was at an event the other night, and she said, you know, think about that person who put that one book in your hands and how that changed you. You know, and I think for me, I was a little book nerd that grew up in rural Southern Illinois in a town of about 6,000 people. And the library in Carterville was very important to me. As I mentioned, there's an essay in the book about that. You will see throughout Little Pieces of Hope, there are tons of my favorite books sprinkled throughout. You know, a friend of mine texted and she was like, I hadn't read X, Y, or Z of this one. And then my second grade teacher, Mrs. Larson, reached out and she said, you know, I'm keeping a running list of everything I haven't read from Little Pieces of Hope. So I just think, you know, that communal act of hand selling still exists in print form too.
Absolutely. I'm inspired. I think I'm going to make a shoppable list on the website of all the books mentioned in the book. I think
that'd
be really
cool. You know, it's funny. I think I have that because my amazing copy editors, Randy Marullo and Karen Wise, they sent a document that was every item listed in Little Pieces of Hope, which, you know, again, I was doing these lists daily. And for the listeners, I've still kept going.
Is still happening.
Yeah. I did one last week. It's been a little crazy, so I haven't done one every day, but I kept going. I mean, there are tons. There's 50% new material in the book. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Karen and Randy pulled out everything by, you know, whether it's a book, a TV show, a movie, and separated it. And it was kind of remarkable to see because I was just doing them daily. And then even when Meg said, we got to have more stuff in the book, I went for about 2 months, I believe, if I remember correctly. I think there's 41 extra new lists.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was there like one category that was like had far and away the most things, or was it all sort of like fairly equal-ish?
It was equal-ish. I think what I tried to do was kind of have a potpourri of everything in each individual list. Like, you know, I'm just going to grab it here and kind of look at it. And like, here's a blank page with Noah Reed's recording of Simply the Best because Schitt's Creek got me through the pandemic.
Yes.
You know, the convention scene on the pitching mound in Bull Durham. Caroline Preston's 1997 novel, Jackie by Josie, the New Zoo Review, you know, so I kind of just jumped all around. I would say there's, but it, you know, it's everything that has brought me joy. I'm just looking at this very quickly. It was like seeing the drawing of Anne Rice's former New Orleans house at 1239 First Street in Britannia, which was also the home of the Mayfair family in The Witching Hour.
Oh, so cool.
That drawing, yeah.
Ah, it's so much fun. It's so cool. And it is like, you were talking about people being like, oh, I haven't read this thing or heard this thing or what have you. And I was definitely reading through it and like marking little things like, oh, I want to look that up later. Like, oh, I want to go listen to this. I want to go like, oh, I haven't read that book. I want to go look that up. Little things like that, that I'm like, well, if it's a happy making thing, then like, I want to go look it up and it's going to be a little dopamine dose.
Well, that was the fun part of all the comments on Instagram too, is like folks would come up with things that I hadn't thought of. I was like, oh, that's really good. You know? So I like that act of putting something new in someone else's life. That song, that painting, that whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. No, I can't wait to continue. This is going to be like my favorite holiday gift this year.
It's just, I love like, that.
Because it's honestly for anyone of any age, like it's just so wholesome and sweet. And it's just a little bundle of joy and a bunch of pages and just here you go. And
it's cheery yellow.
Yes. It's so cute. it's so bright and cute. And we have signed copies at the bookstore.
Yes. Available. My pleasure. Thank you.
Oh my God. I was so excited. I was like, oh wait, book plates. Give me book plates.
Happy to do it. Stocking stuffer alert. They're
exactly.
ready for sale at Gibson's.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I am going to be shouting this book from the rooftops because it is just delightful. It's just delightful. It just,
thank you, my friend.
It's so wholesome. And I'm so excited. Will you do another one? Do you have plans to continue it?
I would love to, if the folks at Penguin are game, it could be called More Little Pieces of Hope.
Yeah.
you know, as I mentioned, I did keep going. So there are plenty of lists. I would love that. I would also love a page a day calendar to rip the pages off. Like that would be good.
That's a great idea.
Or a journal. Like we could do merch.
Oh my God.
Merch.
Yeah. A journal or like, I'm even picturing like those little like self-help workbooks where you have like the things you can do today and like write your own little pieces of hope.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
God.
No, I'm game for anything. Again, it was such a joy. And I think, you know, the other thing that's really interesting about this time is that the recalibration of everything, literally, of how we operate in the world, where we work, where you shop, all of it, you know, it's an unprecedented time. And I think that aspect of having something new, that's what each list does. It gives you something new. You know, and I'm thrilled to hear that you are bookmarking and notating things that you want to see and read. So that makes me very happy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the rare times because I don't usually mark up my books. Like I'm very like, I keep them pristine, but this one, I mean, like I've got
allowed.
Dog ears and I'm like gonna go find all my cute, like neon highlighters and like highlight my favorite ones so that like when I'm having a rough day, I can just like open it up to a marked up page and be like, oh yeah.
There you go.
I love it. What are you reading right now before we
wrap
up?
What am I reading right now? I am reading a new mystery coming from Vintage. It's a Vintage original called Shady Hollow by two booksellers who write under the pseudonym Juno Black. And Shady Hollow is a town in the woods that's inhabited by animals who can talk. And there is a murder of the town toad shows up dead in the river. And the heroine of the novel is a fox called Vera Vixen, who is an investigative reporter who is solving the murder. It is one of the most delightfully charming things I have read in forever. It's coming out in January, I believe.
That's amazing.
But there's a bookstore in the book that is run by the Raven. And it's just so much fun and so endearing. So I read that. And then the other thing that I became obsessed with during the pandemic was Louise Penny's Gamache series. My friend Risha has read all of them. I am woefully behind, but the person who introduced me to them was our Doubleday author, Ariel Lahan, who wrote Codename Helene, was her most recent bestseller. Yeah. And if you don't subscribe to Louise Penny's monthly newsletter, that is a happy making thing. So those are my two things. What are you reading?
I'm about halfway through Mordu by Alex Phoebe. Which is very good, like dark fantasy, but also like at one point has a talking dog and is kind of delightful at the same time as being very dark fantasy. Yeah, it's really good. I'm about halfway through that. And then I'm very excited, I'm about to start the audiobook of The Every by Dave Eggers, which I'm so excited to read because I loved The Circle. And I love that he did an indie bookstore exclusive launch of The Every. And I was like, I bought the hardcover. I was like, I'm voting with my dollars. Like, I am, do more of this. This is awesome. So yeah, I'm doing that. And I'm, you know, always reading a billion things. I feel like I'm probably reading like 10 other things that I can't even think of right now.
Speaking of audio and Lin-Manuel, if you have not listened to Aristotle and Dante, I am on book two, which is
so
even
good.
Better than the first book.
It is, right? How did, he's amazing.
I don't know how Benjamin did this, but it literally picks up the moment the first book ends and you're back in Aristotle and Dante's world. And talking about your younger self, I'm almost 49 now. If I had had this as a teenager, it would have made a huge difference in my life. And it is so beautifully done and so emotionally, how do I say, like, it just, it packs an emotional punch of these two boys and their love story and their family. But that is a book you could give to anyone. It is fantastic.
Absolutely. That, both of them, I feel like Ari and Dante's relationship is like the love story that I want everyone to experience. Like I wish this upon people, you know, like they're just so sweet. And even when there's conflict, it's like they communicate and they work it out. And oh, I love them so
And the stories
much.
Of their families and their friends around them and finding your way in the world. It's a beautifully written story over two books. Like it's just great.
Yeah, I was so excited because I feel like it was a couple of years ago when Benjamin announced that there was a sequel coming. And I remember Lynn tweeting that, like, if you write it, I'll read it. And I was like, oh my God. Because it's funny. So my coworker Joe read Ari and Dante like when it first came out. Like they were an early adopter. Whereas I didn't discover it until after I had discovered Lynn. And I was like, oh, he read this audiobook. That's cool. I'm going to listen to it. And I was like, well, this is the greatest thing ever.
The first one, I think, was 2014, right?
I think so. Yeah, it was a long time ago because they said they were like, when the sequel came out, they made it their staff pick. And they were like, I've been waiting for this book for 10 years.
It's I didn't know he had won the Penn Faulkner Award for his short story collection, and that he has many other books that I look forward to reading. But this one, it's great.
It's so good.
Love
it's so good. Yeah, I absolutely adore both books. The story as a whole in the two books is just utterly delightful, and I love it. So that was a very good recommendation. Good call.
Okay.
I basically haven't looked at my notes the entire time, but I think that's it. I think that's all the questions I had for you. I'm just so pleased to have been able to chat with you again, and I can't wait to continue throwing this book at everyone who walks in the store.
Well, I am so happy to have been with you today, and thank you from the bottom of my heart for having me on, but also for all the support that you've given me in the book. I I know what that means, and I am grateful to you. So thank you.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure. Todd Dowdy, thank you so much. And we'll, I'm sure, continue chatting.
Of course.
I will continue emailing you every time Lynn does something adorable.
Please do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Huge thanks again to the incredible Todd Dowdy for joining me on the podcast. Little Pieces of Hope, Happy Making Things in a Difficult World is available now at Gibson's Bookstore, and we have signed book plates. Grab a copy for yourself and a copy to give as a gift. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and we'll put all those links in the show notes along with all of the books mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!